afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October the 7th, 279th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon are the Brown Boys. Tan Boys.
Mm.
I know it's you, me, and Andrew all dressing the same. I don't know.
Exactly. That's because it's fall.
Oh, I see.
It's autumnal.
I see.
I don't have any orange, though.
Do I?
No? Well, maybe. No, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
I tried that yesterday. It didn't work out real well.
Really?
Yeah.
So. That's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, you take it. You take a daring,
you want to be. As soon as I go in there, second pitch is the one that he threw down the third baseline. I said, oh, the Papstein magic returns. too much fun. So what do you got over there? I'm seeing you broke out the color crayons, so something exciting.
Exactly. Oh, we're at the point of the year we could talk a little bit about year-end planning issues because people are going to need to start thinking about those kinds of topics because before we know it, we're going to be there. Unfortunately, there's some uncertainty in what the tax law is going to be potentially, and so that makes it a little harder to plan than it might otherwise be if we had a more coherent strategy for dealing with extenders and things like that.
Well, maybe after the elections.
It could be.
Yeah. Then we'll talk about it when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley, but before we do, quote this afternoon. I got politics. I got six different ones here.
Really?
I say I got Margaret Thatcher. Comment to Robert Mugabe. Okay. I've got Angela Davis, which actually isn't a bad one. That would be pretty good. Nancy Reagan.
Nice.
Uh-huh. I got another Thatcher. Tulsa, yeah. And Ann Richards.
Really?
Who do you want?
Yeah, she was pretty public person for a long time.
Pretty direct,
she?
Yeah. Yeah. What you want?
Let's do a Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher. Okay, we'll go with the one to Robert Mugabe. In 1986, the quote was when Mugabe was pressing for sanctions against South Africa. Quote, if you want to cut your own throat, don't come to me for a Band-Aid. Yeah, be careful what you wish for, huh?
You might just get it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's the problem. We make decisions, you know, a lot of times. All of us make decisions in our own lives. Sometimes we make it on short-term criteria, and that, you know, the long-term consequences, they tend to bubble up, and They aren't always evident at the start, but they tend to bite us in the tush later.
So you're flowing right into a year-end planning. That's not bad.
Indeed. How about that?
Not bad at all.
Yeah. I'm flowing.
Yeah. And the gradient isn't too steep, so we're okay with
exactly.
this one.
Yeah.
So with all of the questions that are out there and the tax legislation that is or is not being addressed because people are or are not covering their buns trying to get reelected, is this just kind of treading water time until the middle of November?
Well, I think to some degree there for certain things maybe, although I'm not sure you can in some cases afford to wait that long. So it's an interesting time. There are a lot of standard tax planning activities a person might take that. You know, that it doesn't really matter whether there's a law passed or not. But then there's other things, and particularly a number of consequential ones that affect business that are going to, we've heard that, Congress is, may take this stuff up. I mean, the Senate has said they wouldn't vote on it, is my understanding, on any of these things until after the election. So, we're really pushing this back. And of course, if it's changing the business expensing election, the amount of property people can buy and write off and in a given year, that sometimes takes time. I mean, if you're in the kind of business where you're just ordering computers and you can get them in a week and get them up and running in 2 weeks, that's not a big deal. But if you're ordering a specialty delivery vehicle, an ambulance,
shoot the moon, a transmitter,
a radio transmitter, those items take time to A, order, B, receive, and C, get placed in service.
They still need to be built.
Yeah,
for a lot of them.
Right, and so the point is, if you don't know what the tax law is, and you're trying to make decisions at year end, basing, a number of criteria, including a big one, which is what's the tax impact going to be on our various decisions? Where are we tax wise, and what do we think we need to do? It's problematic when we can't get some of these things ironed out before now.
Well, and there's a lot of questions certainly for businesses right now in our area about what the future holds anyway. We've got the open enrollment period coming up with Medical Care. And we're hearing stories of individuals going up huge numbers.
Yes.
We're hearing businesses dealing with the same thing. Is there any hedge or any planning with medical costs, either for the private or the business? Is there going to be any kind of special tax break associated with that or not associated with that? What are you hearing in that arena?
Well, it's a challenging, the whole medical insurance area is challenging right now. First of all, you've got, there are tax credits that are out there, and people went out at the start of the year and they got subsidies maybe for their health insurance based upon tax credits they expect to get. But when they get to the end of the year, some of the assumptions that were taken into account in making the determination of how much the subsidy was going to be may have changed, which may mean that somebody's going to have an unpleasant surprise or a pleasant surprise potentially when their tax return comes around. But, most of us are pretty good with pleasant surprises, but the unpleasant surprises are generally unwelcome, and they can be really problematic for folks who are, who haven't adequately planned for, needing cash to do certain things. So that piece is really uncertain. We're seeing, we're seeing renewal, health insurance renewals for businesses. A lot of businesses are not renewing until December. Most of them put it off as long as they could last year to put it off as long as they could this year to try to figure out, when. If the ground was gonna, if the wrinkles were gonna come out of the carpet here, or if we're still gonna have all these buggles that we have to step over, and those things are starting to become known. And
buggles,
buggle.
We are buggles. We have to step over. We'll practice that during the break. It's 3:19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, so planning, what are some of the things we kind of sort of can feel our way through the night and get to where we want to?
Well, it depends on your situation, and obviously the things that that you and I should be thinking about as individuals in our own tax planning is different than the things that you're thinking of as a business operator, or I'm thinking of as, a partner in a CPA firm and managing the business. So, we've got parallel tracks that we can talk about, and the considerations, although inevitably somewhat interrelated, the considerations are different. I mean, not everybody has, like you and I both have, personal income tax return and have a business that files taxes and
hammers. Gets
tax,
hammered too. Yeah.
So I mean, it's you know, everybody's situation is a bit different. But when you start thinking about if you're an individual, we start thinking about the typical year-end individual tax planning moves a person can make. If a person has a stock portfolio, might be a good time, you know, if you've got some gains in the portfolio, might be a good time to harvest some losses and try to match those up a little bit. You can accomplish that in a lot of cases without really compromising your position. So let's say, as an example, I got this stock and it's appreciated and it's got a $10,000 gain, and I really want to sell it because I think there's reasons why I should get out of it. So I sell it and I take the $10,000 gain. Well, I got this other stock over here that's got a $5,000 loss in it. Well, you know, I don't really want to get rid of that stock because I like it and I think it's going to come back. Well, what you can do is you can sell that, take that $5,000 loss, and then 31 days later, you can buy that position again and still be able to deduct the loss against the gain. So then in my example, I have a $10,000 gain, a $5,000 loss. I have a net $5,000 capital gain income instead of a $10,000 capital gain income. So those are, you know, that's kind of traditional planning where we're saying, hey, we're trying to match things out there, and there are ways of doing it.
Now, are capital gains an area that a lot of folks who don't think that they would be impacted by it do get impacted by it?
No, I think most people who are impacted by capital gains are impacted regularly. The exception to that is if somebody has a one-off sale. Maybe they had a piece of land, you know, they got this lot that they bought years ago and they never did anything with it, but they've been sitting on it and they paid $25,000 for it in 1986 and it's just been sitting around. Now all of a sudden they realize, hey, I can sell it for 90, and I've got this big gain when I go to sell the lot. Well, that's one kind of person. The other kind is the person who's got stocks and they have trading going on in their account.
What about inheritance? Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. Mom or dad or grandma, grandpa, whatever. The will is executed, and you're one of four or five kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now all of a sudden you got a chunk of something that has this value increase. Is that something that is that normal
typically
to know about, or is that one of those gotchas at the end of the year when either you sell or the asset is sold and you get one fifth of it? And you, what do you mean? How much do I owe? Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Typically, that's not that big of a problem with estates, but there are some exceptions. Estates and trusts. There's a concept called a basis step-up, and let me explain what that is. Let's say I buy $1,000 worth of ABC company, and I buy it 20 years ago, and now it's worth $20,000. So I got a $19,000 gain. And then my heirs are happy because I die, and let me tell you why they're happy. Because there's a concept called a basis step-up. So as of the date of my death, there's a determination of the value of the property, and that's the new basis for income tax purposes.
Oh, that resets it?
Yeah. So death can be an accounting touchdown. Not so much for the person who dies.
Yeah, but for that taxpayer, it's kind of rough. Yeah.
But it can. Now, there are exceptions to what we're talking about, and beyond that, there are other types of assets that have a more bite you in the tush kind of a consequence. As an example, retirement accounts or tax deferred accounts, they don't get a basis step up. So let's say as an example, my grandmother dies and she's got a $100,000 IRA account and she leaves it to her four grandkids and I get $25,000. Well, if I turn that cash right away, that's going to be taxable
as regular income,
as ordinary income. Now, in general, you have a provision where you can do an inherited IRA and roll it over and not have to and take it out over a longer term period where you don't have to take it all at once. But the point is, those dollars don't get that basis step up. So if you're in a position where you're inheriting property, it's a good idea to be consulting with your tax professional to make sure you understand what the consequences are of your inheritance.
Even if it may not feel as if it's a huge amount.
If the character of the assets that are inherited, some of them are great. Let me give you an example. Let's say grandma dies or mom dies or pick your whoever. a relative dies and they have $100,000 in an IRA and they got $100,000 in a checking account. Well, which would you rather have? You say $100,000. No, because there's no tax consequences associated with that checking account.
Yeah, it's already.
And there's major tax consequences associated with the IRA. So, you know, the two beneficiaries wouldn't look at each other and say, "Well, you take the IRA, I'll take the checking account." The consequences are very different from an income tax standpoint.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish-language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, one of the things that I've been hearing, of course, I am now hanging out probably more with government types than I am private types, is significant cutbacks in training, whether it's on-site or off-site, travel, you know, conventions and gatherings and regional meetings and things like that. Are those significant to the individual if they have incurred any individual expenses, or to the company if they are one who routinely uses those areas as staff development? Is there any relief at all, or are those still kind of seen as the Las Vegas party time?
Well, typically, if people going on travel status for conventions or for industry conferences or continuing education, that those travel expenses are deductible. They typically would be, you know, I think in a normal situation, most employers reimburse an employee for the costs of those events, or they pay a lot of times the employer will pay the fees for admission to whatever the event is, and then sometimes the employee goes out and gets reimbursed for their lodging and travel expenses to get there, and you know, just depends on facts and circumstances. But those are ordinary necessary business expenses for the business. So we typically see those kinds of things reimbursed. There are times where people go and do that, and they do that kind of you know, on their own dime, and those are deductible as employee business expenses as a miscellaneous itemized deduction. Now, if you don't itemize, because you don't have a house or make a lot of charitable contributions or have a lot of health expenses and things like that, you may not get much benefit for those kinds of expenses. And I think I do think in my experience, most employers are paying for those travel expenses for employees because they're just they're in furtherance of the business.
Yeah, and that certainly makes a ton of sense. But as we're looking at these increasing costs of being in business, that's one of the areas oftentimes that is cut back.
Well, that's an easy place to start, radio advertising and conferences and conventions. I'm kidding.
I'm noticing CPA didn't make that short list.
No, we're critical.
Yeah.
No, people try to cut back everywhere, you know, and we've seen that too, where somebody was hiring us to do a monthly financial statement for them, and they're saying, maybe quarterly's enough, or we were doing quarterly financial statements. They're going, we'll just get it at year end. Well, so, you know, we're seeing that those kind, you know, people are looking for discretionary places to contain their costs.
So now, are those being driven by some of these legislative timings out, or lack of addressing, or just the general business malaise?
I think that it's the general business climate that's causing a lot of it. And I think that, you know, when you look around, big business is doing fine in this country, but small business is still struggling in a lot of cases. And you know,
so you would think if you wanted a business incentive or cattle prod, if you will, some kind of an assistance, that this would be the area, something that's more germane, more specific to small businesses, that Congress and the Senate would be looking at, or an on-the-ball state.
Well, yeah, and Texas is pretty aggressive at courting California businesses, and they've been very successful. And, you know, now the California legislature has approved some kind of discretionary retention dollars out there. Unfortunately, what they did is they did away with a program that supported hiring in, like, the Eureka Enterprise Zone. And now it's more of a, well, if you can get the politicians to agree this is really that you're important to us, then you can get this subsidy. And so it's a typical political play. Governor Brown is the one who engineered it, and basically what they're doing is they're saying, "Hey, we're going to take it away from a level playing field, and we're going to be able to control it." It's not that unusual for politicians of both parties to pull that kind of stuff. I mean, I think that's why we have minimum wage issues throughout the country, because the minimum wage is designed to be a political football. It doesn't go up based. It would be very simple to put the minimum wage and put it and have it move based upon, some kind of measurable objective. But instead, we don't do that. And then what that does is that allows people on one side to go to their donors and ask for money to have the minimum wage go up, and people on another side go to their donors and say, "We need to fight this. This is going to cripple our businesses." And so, who the only people that make out in this whole process, the way it's set up, is the politicians. So maybe not your or our particular politician is guilty of this, of that. But in general, the political class and our system is guilty of setting up, the minimum wage as a political football.
So as we're looking at some of these other things that are perhaps not footballs, maybe they're hot potatoes instead,
mm-hmm.
keeping it to kid games.
Nice.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. And they go play hide and seek when it comes time to... Cool. To really step up to the plate.
Let's hopscotch to the point here, Brian.
Yeah. Well, if you're trying to get this stuff figured out, what do you look for as a highly trained professional to get an indication that something's going to happen? Is it just the clatter start to rise in a couple of the areas? Is it a big-time lobbyist suddenly moving in and you start here? Hearing, seeing, reading some things about their activities, what do you look for before this thing is signed and everybody knows it's an indicator so that we can get a head start or a leapfrog ahead on some of this stuff?
Well, I think that you do hear, there is a bit of a clatter that begins to accumulate in the ether out there as some things gain momentum, and then you begin to see, okay, that they're likely to do something here. Why we're waiting until after the election to deal with some provisions of law that have huge effect on small business, I have no idea, except that it's another political football.
Yeah, but everybody gives lip service to supporting a small business.
Sure.
So you think everybody would be pushing to get something through for small business.
You would think. But, look, it's all political. All this stuff's political. And so, we're sitting here waiting to see, okay, is there going to be the a change in the expensing rules where we can deduct more equipment purchases? Are we going to get other forms of bonus depreciation that might allow people to write more off, which allows people to buy stuff that they need for their businesses, but be able to deduct it when they're paying for it instead of depreciate it over the future? If you think about it, somebody's going to go out and spend $150,000 on equipment, and they get it depreciated over the next 5 or 7 years. Well, that's $150,000 out of their pocket, and they're going to get a seventh of it. Or whatever in the first year, that doesn't really, there's not a lot of bang for the buck for that expenditure. So there's a lot of good reasons why the accelerated depreciation and what we call the Section 179 deduction, which is business expensing, needs to be dealt with, and it shouldn't be dealt with at the end of the year. But yet we see this time and time again where Congress plays this political, plays this game, and it goes out to the end of the year before anything happens. And that's where we are again this year. So I do think it's likely something's going to happen, that we will get some kind of movement, because right now, a year ago, the Section 179, the business expensing deduction was $500,000. It's $25,000 right now, $25,000. We went from $500,000 down to $25,000. That's a pretty big sea change. And so I do think we're likely to see something happen. That been said, the political environment in Washington's toxic. So You know, you don't see any real indication that either side wants to get along with the other. You know, they just want to point fingers at each other. So, but we've seen that on the playground.
Almost brought it back. KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:48. Wow. Just a couple minutes left with Silver Tongue McCauley.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm getting silver hair to go with my tongue.
Yeah, I know. I was going to talk about your golden years, but that'll be around the corner. So what are you looking for, Bill, is the smoke screen or the smoke signals that there's really some traction starting to happen with some of these things that you would like to see in place to allow for tax planning for this year?
Well, I think from a standpoint, you know, nothing's going to happen with regard to some of these issues that I've talked about with regard to some of these deduction issues for business until after the election. So we're waiting until the election occurs before
tidal wave of activity or drip drip.
They're not going to have time to goof around too much. After that, I wouldn't be surprised if the legislation isn't already drafted, or at least the bones are already put together, and then I think something's likely to at least get out there and get voted upon. But that been said, is there any ironclad guarantee? I don't think there is, and I think it really comes down to the fact that we're just dysfunctional right now.
Any difference with the state? Or what you sense at the federal level?
The state's interesting. They're trying to grab dollars everywhere they can. I mean, they are imposing penalties left and right and doing whatever they can. Although there's a new program that's out by the state of California with regard. It's called the New College Access Tax Credit, and that thing has got some really interesting characteristics to it. Stay tuned on that one.
Ooh, a tease. He's even doing teases for next month.
Yeah.
Whoa, what a guy.
Well, it'll be election day.
Yeah, got to have something to talk about. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Dog Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.